Ebola is on the rise in Freetown, the capital of Sierra Leone. Just this week, there were 234 confirmed new infections. Every day, hundreds of residents call the emergency line to report more possible cases in their neighborhoods. NPR's Nurit Aizinman joined a health surveillance team that drives out to investigate those alerts.
The junior member of this team is a young man with a wisp of a beard and a serious manner.
My name is Usman So.
So is clutching a sheaf of papers with the names and addresses of today's list of suspected Ebola sufferers. We jump into the back of a green pickup, and soon we're turning off the thoroughfare.
We're bumping along a rutted dirt road. This outbreak started in Sierra Leone's east, but in the past couple weeks, it's really moved towards the capital, Freetown, in this area. Yep. Now the surveillance team is going out to visit 3, 4, sometimes 5 homes a day with multiple people in those homes.
We pass mud brick huts with corrugated metal roofs. Ebola has hit this place hard, and the evidence is everywhere. So points to a boarded up house.
As you can see, there is nobody there. There are around 11 inhabitants. 9 of them died.
We pass a few more boarded up homes before reaching our destination. A narrow hut steps from the ocean.
This is one of the homes.
A middle-aged man shuffles out and takes a seat on the front porch.
As you can see, that man sitting over there is a suspect.
He looks haggard. We stand a good distance away and can barely hear him. He points to his throat and says it's hurting. 2 of his children recently died of Ebola. Now says so.
He and his wife has developed the signs and symptoms of the disease and also their grandson.
So fills out the paperwork for an ambulance pickup and says his part in this is done.
Well, we have given the report to the command center. It's left for the ambulance to come and take them.
But when or even whether the ambulance will arrive is another story. Back in the pickup, So notes that right now there aren't enough beds at treatment centers for everyone who's falling sick.
The patients stay in the house and died without no response from the ambulance. So therefore, when we come there also the second time, they will not have it. If I can say, more than 80% of the places, they blame us every day.
Still, there are signs of improvement. Earlier this day, the team stopped at a house where 2 sick kids had been left alone after their parents and 9 other relatives died of Ebola. The ambulance showed up while the team was still there. The team's leader, Tommy Bangura, is an older man, a fatherly figure to the others, and he says the image of those kids being led out by a nurse in protective gear is still haunting him.
The eldest, she was in the house, locked herself in the house, and it was not possible for us to open. So lucky when the ambulance came, the nurse was in her PPs. We sprayed the place and then he entered and took the child from the house into the ambulance. I felt so bad.
A half-hour drive takes us to a community health clinic, where the team meets with a pregnant woman and her husband. They ask her to sit in a plastic chair in the yard. Her name is Kadiatu Kargbo. She's dressed in a lace skirt and sparkly flip-flops. She picks at her fingernails while So calls out questions off a list.
The vomit, yes?
First I eat.
Yes.
Why is I vomit?
First I eat, then I vomit, she says. So looks for a line on his form listing vomiting/nausea and checks the yes box. He says he thinks she probably has malaria. Still, based on her symptoms, she'll need to get tested for Ebola. Kargbo's husband looks worried. What if she gets exposed to people who do have the disease while she's waiting at a holding center?
I say I don't want to take this girl and to mix them with the other sick people. We don't know her status yet.
It's getting dark. The final stop, a hut shaded by tall trees. The village headman calls for a 15-year-old boy named Alusin Bangwar to come out. The headman says he's been calling the emergency line about this kid for 3 days. The boy walks over slowly, warily, and sits on a tire in his yard. They go through the checklist.
Did he feel weak?
A large crowd gathers and starts piping up with complaints. It seems another 15-year-old, this one a girl, recently died of apparent Ebola in a house nearby. Her relatives are supposed to be under quarantine, but they've been walking around freely. One of the youth leaders asks for police enforcement.
We want team different. We need to add more movement to this issue. Because this is a life business.
Bangura, the team leader, explains that his team has nothing to do with quarantines. Everyone starts to calm down. Still, as Bangura heads back to the pickup, he looks tired. The scenes he's witnessing on this job are alarming him. Last night, he says, he had a serious talk with his wife.
I advised my wife, on no account should any of my children step out of this compound. They should stay indoors. Yeah, he said Ebola is becoming very serious, very, very serious.
And when you have children dying, he adds, it's very pathetic. Narit Eisenman, NPR News, Freetown.